All right, so hi everybody. Thanks for coming to Helen Wong's talk. Helen's been a friend of mine since my first year in grad school at Berkeley. She was in the office and welcoming me. And actually, she called me to tell me I even got into Berkeley, which is even cooler than that in 1990 something. Today, Helen has worked here, which everyone in this room knows Helen already, but she worked here for a very long time at MSR, and then she went off to found a company called Six Crickets, which is her dream to make a nice startup, and it's all about getting kids to go to summer camp. So
It's more than that.
and it's more than that, and Helen's going to tell you all about it. Here you go.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Andy, for having me, and thanks everyone for coming here. And it's so great to see everyone. And it feels like a long time, but I'm very happy and to be back and to share with you about what I have been doing. And as you know that there's such a big buzz about artificial intelligence. Whatever you do, you got to do something about it. But actually, here there's a really practical usage, and I will share with you about that. What about summer camp planning? And so let me first provide you some context, and I think this context will lead to the formulation of a very interesting, actually open research question that in fact nobody has solved, which is very interesting, and which we call the problem to be schedule recommendation. I will talk about challenges and approaches. I will not show you the formulas and so on, but you get some sense on the directions of the approaches that we have done. And actually, that technology is live on our website. A two-year-old startup can also have cutting-edge technology in it, which I feel very happy about. So a tech transfer has really happened right there. So I will also show you some demos and so on, and then conclude. So I'm a mom, and what really led me to creating sixcrickets.com, really from my own pain, when my children turned 5 years old and 7 years old, and all of a sudden a world of activities became available. And it's such a painful time for us parents to actually figure out, a summer camp schedule or after-school enrichment activity schedule. And this is actually daily life stuff. Parents need to make sure this 3 months of summer that children needs to be arranged somehow, and fun, enrichment of learning and fun would be often a desired thing for parents and for children. But I quickly realized that in this space, the technology doesn't seem to have, today you Uber a ride in seconds and you Airbnb home away from home. But when it comes to planning for our children's sometimes the daily enrichment activities or summer activities, it takes us parents for hours and days and weeks to finalize. This really speaks out a deeper problem to me. But let me just tell you on the surface what we poor parents have to go through. First of all, we need to figure out what are some of the interesting enrichment summer camp providers out there. You gather that list of websites and names from your Google search and from other parents. Then you go to really each website, manually parse the age, manually parse where they might be, manually parse the interest, which programs. Then you write down this program may be working and for sports, and there's a chess, and there's a sport. You'll find the right programs. Then you also still need to figure out the program is happening for these weeks, that sports program happening for these weeks over the summer, over maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and chess happening from these 2 or 3 weeks, and the other science camp may be very popular, and they're 4 or 5 weeks, but 3 weeks is already sold out, and all of these. So you need to kind of synthesize all this information and create a schedule that works for your family. Sometimes when you have one child, it's very complex. When you have more than one children, and it's actually very complex. This complex schedule coordination actually points to a deeper computer science problem, which I will talk about. That's exactly the problem that I will formulate. And once you even figure out the schedule, and then the poor parents have to go to every single website, log in, or have yet another password, and also fill out a very lengthy registration form, it's not just your name and email, but also parents' information, emergency contact, doctor's information, insurance contact, and medical information, and so on. So that's why you can see in the spaces like Uber and Airbnb, that's what 21st century should be. And this is a space that's not yet in 21st century. And it lacks the technology support, it lacks investment, it lacks, it's an underdeveloped area that's really ripe for disruption. And so that also spells out a great opportunity for me. So what we have created is sixcrickets.com for parents, that's a, you know, basically providers. On one hand, parents, you know, have trouble finding the right programs and figuring out the schedule. On the other side, there are empty seats in providers' classes. And so sixcrickets.com is an online marketplace where providers can list the seats to sell on sixcrickets.com, and parents can come to a central place to search, make a schedule for one or more children across the weeks of the summer or weekdays throughout a week for school years, and then pay and register for that schedule full of camps or classes in one go, and then share that schedule with many you know, friends to take camps and classes together. So as I hinted, that schedule is a central abstraction of our system. Yes?
How did you come up with this name?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, gosh, that's the toughest question that I have to answer probably in this talk. The question is, how did we come up with the name Six Crickets? Well, it can inspire beautiful logos. No, probably the wrong answer. Basically, I'm sorry, let me, you know, at the end, we're not a marketing person, we're more geeky. So what really led to this name is that we need to find a name. The domain name cannot be taken, and it has to sound good and playful. And so we will think more about a nice marketing story in the future. Yes,
that seems like all the things that you mentioned, you know, as a challenge for scheduling a summer camp are also a challenge for picking a college. Have you thought about how this whole approach could help people find a better, the best fit for a college?
I wonder whether that's a recommendation problem. Or the schedule recommendation, there are two components which I'll talk about.
Okay.
One, there's a scheduling, the other one, there's a recommendation.
Okay.
These are disparate areas, and people have done a lot of research separately in these separate camps of research areas. And we happen to stumble on a problem that needs to do both. And you cannot combine both trivially. That would be too expensive. So I will chat a little bit. I will talk more about that later, but that's a really good thought. I think the schedule recommendation we'll talk about, it does have broader impact. For example, so today, what we have come up with to have a schedule recommended for your children that satisfy all your constraints, and including driving diversity and so on, and availability and so on. And for example, like one application is, you know, organize a fun outing for your circle of friends, maybe a different group of friends, every weekend. It's got to be an event that all of your friends love. It's got to be a group of friends that you would really have fun getting together with. And it got to be the event is available. And so there are broader, there are many scenarios that could benefit from that formulation of that, the solution that we came up with for that problem. So so many people say, well, Helen, you had a really good life at Microsoft Research. You were a principal researcher, and you founded and you were managing a security and privacy research group. Why are you now selling camps and classes? Come on, Helen. What a poor career decision you've made. I like to define my position. I like to define my decision here. I want to first say that I'm really inspired by people like Jeff Bezos. And I think in the course of doing this startup, I also get to read more about these people. You know, of course, nobody's perfect, but I'm inspired by people like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. And the reason is that I think they all see a future that's inevitable. And they so firmly believe in that future that, and they're doing all whatever they need and to get to that future, and so determined and so persistent. The inevitable future Jeff Bezos identified is that the internet here, the web is here. We've got to be able to buy anything, everything on the internet. For the first 8 years, there are people doubt him, and the, you know, even after the IPO, the stock crashed and so on. But he never failed to recognize that vision and has always been persistently pursued that. Despite that, he's not a technology. Despite that, he's not had any experience in retail, right? So similarly, I also feel comforted. I also have no experience with commerce or something. I was a computer scientist, but I also identified this inevitable future that is today the way the education innovate inside the schools is way too slow. It's the way it's innovating is like centuries of old, the way of innovation, the education has been inside the school is very slow, and the innovation speed is very slow. And, you know, it's very hard to make changes, very hard to experiment. But nevertheless, there is a place where the education innovation is happening at a much faster pace, right? There's 3D printing has come around for a few years and is sold maybe many more years, but it has become very popular over the past few years. And there's 3D printing summer camp. And virtual reality is arriving in the mainstream. And there is a summer camp about virtual reality storytelling. So basically, anyone who has a heart to teach children has a great ideas about teaching something, and they can have that class coming this summer or have that class this coming fall. So the way the new cool ideas, cool teaching is actually, you can see a lot of them. I invite you to come and visit our website. You will be amazed on the variety and creativity of the programs that we've seen by a lot of today's enrichment providers already. And a lot of them, actually, they also come from distinguished background as well. So,
do you see this completely replacing schools?
No, I don't. Well, you mean in 100 years, 1,000 years?
20 years,
yeah. I cannot predict that the school will be completely gone, but I know that this will be here to stay, and this will lead education innovation. And so the speed of this innovation will really truly push. I really truly think that the education innovation will be happening here, then it will impact the school as well. Having school completely disappearing in 20 years, it's a little bit hard to imagine. Yeah. So then given this context, so what I really want to do is to power this innovation, to create an efficient market engine and infrastructure for education, enrichment education space. To essentially, you know, fundamentally kind of making the impact for education, for children, and so on. So that's kind of what really made me so excited about this journey. So what we have discussed, so I have talked a lot about this one product, you know, sixcrickets.com, one-stop shop. But we also have a kind of ecosystem kind of solution where we also support the schools for after-school enrichment, providing the right tools for the operations to be much more fluid, allowing many more children to participate in enrichment. We also provide operation support for the providers to allow the providers to have a much streamlined operations on their backend, for their website, for their business. And for the parents, it's the product of the one-stop shop so that they can have, you know, all the information at their fingertips, they can complete transactions much, much more quickly. So what we have is one-stop discovery of all the camps and classes for children for a particular season, summer, spring, or something. And you can do map navigation, you can do filtering. And then a key thing is that we solve the scheduling puzzle that I talked about. You have, you know, camps of various schedules from different providers. You need to kind of put them together for one or more children meaningfully, that also accommodates your own family schedule. So the scheduling puzzle is solved in the sense that I will actually show you, the parents will be able to much more easily to see where camps fit into the schedule. And we also here apply the schedule recommendation to assist more automation, to give more automation there. And remember, you know, there's another hurdle is repetitive long registration form, and we also allow parents to book classes from different providers using just a single registration form and having you know, automatic invoicing with the providers underneath simultaneously. And by having the schedule as the central abstraction, the parents can, and that's also the unit of sharing. You can share the schedule with others, and kids can take the same class at the same time much more easily, instead of in the past, you have to have endless of emailing and phone calls and still not resolving what to do together. So here I'm showing some screenshots, and I welcome people to surf our website. So basically, you come here, you can plan for all of your children, and you have my kids, 7 years old and 9 year old, and here is for the summer and near where we are. With that, then you can come to lots of camps, and right now this number is like 1,500 camps, and each camp have many sessions. So in, you know, 10 miles radius, the parents are really trying to figure out among all these, you know, 7,000 camps, sessions, classes, how can I figure this out?
Do the camp organizers have to sign up?
Yes, we partner with the camp organizers. So in some sense, it's very similar to Airbnb. So the people who rent out their rooms in their houses will need to describe their room and on Airbnb, and then people can find it. So it's similar in that fashion. And then, so everything here, you may feel, yeah, this may be similar to Amazon, similar to some of the things you've seen. But when you click on one, will look very different. Well, before I do that, there's also other kind of navigation in terms of locations, categories, you know, just lots of filtering as well. And when you click on one where, this is what happens. You click on one where, it shows, you know, for my children, Quincy, 7 year old, and Corlin, 9 year old, and here are the weeks of the summer. And by click on seeing, you know, one where, it tells me where in the schedule they will show up, right? So it's, you know, this class is available for both children for this week as well as for this week. Then as a parent, I can add to schedule, can see this much more easily. We can also search, you know, if it's available for one child, not another child, then you can click on this, like search for this week for this child. So this kind of click saves parents already just hours of time before they have to go to many different websites just to achieve that one click. Okay, these all seem much better. And once you build up that summer camp schedule, then you can pay. Yes, Jay?
It said girls only.
Oh, really? Good eye. I did not add that to the schedule. So after you build up the schedule, so no matter which classes, which provider these classes come from, and you can all come to one place and just pay. That's it. Yeah. So here it's also kind of a little bit similar to Amazon, like you have all these products from different places, you only pay once. Yeah. And then you can share the schedule and invite your friend. This is one way sharing. Your friend receives the invitation, can see your schedule, but they need to share it back with you to be able to see theirs. And once you get their schedule, you can look at their schedule and say, ah, I like this one. Then you can add the same one to one of your children. So that's kind of basic flow how this website functions. You may say, wow, that's still too much work. I still have to click so many times and to figure out what I really want is just give me a nice schedule and I just pay for it. That's exactly what I was thinking 2 years ago. That's what I want. Just give me a nice camp schedule just to pay for. Okay, so that comes to the formulation of this schedule recommendation. So the problem here is given the children's ages and where you live and the past behaviors, I recommend a class schedule that satisfies the ages, the interests, or social needs that they have to go to with certain friends, and well minimize driving. So you don't want to, for this week, send the children. You find the camps, but they're at two ends of the town, then that's not practical. So that's a constraint across the students. And you also don't want to have we also want to maximize the topic diversity across the time slots. Like this week, they did soccer, and the next week, they shouldn't do soccer. They should do something else. So how can we come a schedule across all these weeks, say, of the summer, and that satisfy all these constraints? Sometimes it's cross students, sometimes it's cross time slots, and also with, as you can see, 7,000s of classes to figure out. So that's kind of the problem. The challenges are, unlike the traditional scheduling problems, where before you often just schedule for one person, and now you're scheduling for multiple students. Like in the traditional optimization, you often maybe just scheduling just for one student. Another challenge is that this is multi-dimensional joint constraint and preferences. There's time, there's ages, the interests, and minimum driving across students, diversity across time slots, so that quickly have a much larger search space. So then the scalability needs to be, we really need to have a solution that scales, given these joint constraints, scales to tens of thousands of classes here.
When you do your constraints around drive time, do you actually have routes that are, you know, sensitive to time of day?
Yes. So basically, we need to, if there are two camps, if we can only find two camps, they're not at the same time, they're not at the same camp, we also need to make sure that the start time is at a reasonable time so you can actually get to from one to another. Yes, exactly. Right.
Sure. Do you also offer carpool recommendations to parents whose children go to camps nearby?
That's a great idea. I think many people want that. That's a to-do. Yeah. So once they share the schedule, I think the next thing is carpool. Yeah, good point. In this problem, we also want to incorporate the user preferences over the classes. You know, I don't want this class. I add this class to the, and so on. So this kind of preferences over the classes also needs to be learned. And so we need a tight integration between the item recommendation and the scheduling. So basically, our basic approach is that we use recommender system methods to estimate child session suitability. So this child, this session can work for this child because of the age and location constraints and so on. And then we use an integer linear program to find a schedule that maximizes the suitability of the selected sessions and respect other hard constraints on cost or driving distance and class availability. And then there's you know, some of the innovations and ongoing work involve problem-driven cost function for learning. So we want to train the scoring function using the cost functions derived from the feedback on a full schedule rather than individual user item pairs. We also want to integrate joint constraints and the scores. We talk about this, like minimize driving across students and maximum diversity across time slots and dealing with thousands of classes. And there is the trade-off. Sometimes we may not be perfectly optimal, but we, because of these thousands of classes available to make the schedule, we also need to make sure our results, our schedule can come back within 10 seconds. And lastly, the area that of the challenge is the user interface to guide the recommendation scheduling. How can the user giving certain tuning that's to guide the recommendation? For example, I'm okay to be late. I don't know. So there are some kind of user can relax certain constraints and to allow a schedule to happen. Sometimes when, if a schedule is not available, they may be able to relax certain constraints.
So can I just ask about the first bullet? So
sure.
Feedback on full schedule. So that's something that you get from the people that use the tool? Is it like how do you get feedback?
Yeah, so basically if the user says, I don't want this item in the schedule slot, that's a feedback.
Okay, so it's not written feedback about it. But when you say full schedules, what does that mean exactly?
Full schedule is basically I have a summer to fill, right? What I want is a schedule. And why remove that item, it may not be, it's more complex than I don't like that item.
I see.
It could be that.
You have to take into account the reason. Okay, so you don't ask people explicitly why, I guess.
So that's the user interface. Sometimes we also need to potentially to get additional input on that. So when they remove an item from the schedule, there could be multiple reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe because they don't like, you know, last week is soccer and this week is martial arts. It's too much movement. Although it's good to the system, it's diverse, but it's not like I don't like that provider. I just want something calm for that week.
Right.
So it's more complex.
It's combinatorial.
It's
combinatorial.
Yeah.
So do you have parents, both parents, because you're the finite resource, you've got busy job and time and schedule and things like that. You have both parents' schedules in there so that when you have a conflict, I can't pick up Susie, but maybe they can, or you have an Uber option when neither can do it, and then automatically knows where it needs to go, where to drop the kid off, and it just gets taken care of.
That's a great point. Very originally, we were also thinking about, okay, we should integrate the parents' calendar so that we can do really intelligent things. But that's very challenging because you don't know what items on the parent calendar to override.
Right.
Because when you are having those meetings in whatever leadership team, and then the kid can still take the cab.
At least to know that there's a conflict and that the parents have to work it out.
That's true. Actually, the pickup is a really good idea.
Yeah.
It's a really good consideration. I think that it's doable. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So this thing, we have a basic version working for the schedule recommendation, and you can try it on our website. Give a couple children and see what comes back. This will come back for my 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. On the top, you can see that it's the same camp from Stone Soup Theater. That's a drama class. And the next one is a public speaking. So here, the machine intelligence is not as intelligent as human. These two are very related. You may want something different. But to the machine, they're similar. They're different, actually. Then the next one is about programming games. And the next one is about soccer. And the next one is about karate. And the next one is soccer again. Then it seems to be running out of. And then there's a chess and so on, chess/coding. So this schedule could possibly just workable. But oftentimes, it actually does automate what I just did earlier when I was trying to build up the schedule manually, trying to locate the camps close to one another, you know, for the same week for the children, and trying to figure out different topics for the next week and so on. So it actually does trying to automate what I would do. So I can conclude. So we came up with the schedule recommendation. It's a problem that at the cross of optimization algorithm and recommender systems, and we're still doing more, trying to understand more about what would be the best way to come up with the best schedule and to revise and to keep learning as the user interacts with the system. I gave another scenario where the schedule recommendation could be useful. I think there are many scenarios where there are people doing things together. I think schedule recommendation can be useful. What's pretty cool is that, there's a line that's not necessary. I'm reusing some Facebook. I gave this the same talk at Facebook, so so now edit it out. Okay, so. Great. So that's pretty much what I have been up to. And we would continually love to get feedback and advices from our colleagues. And I consult with some of the colleagues and ask some questions and learn about. Yes, Curtis.
Seems like the constraint modeling is like right up your alley. I was wondering what has been your challenges switching from being a researcher to a CEO to putting together a startup and funding.
Great.
Business models and repetition.
Yes. What I learned is that actually being a researcher gives you a very good tool set for you to do startups. doing startup is about, it's a, you know, a path no one has walked, right? And research problem, you find that you have a vision about a research problem, you also explore and find all kinds of way and to solve it. And here, there is a problem. There's an inefficiency in the, you know, education, in this enrichment education space. My goal is how can I remove the inefficiency, and how can we get there, right? And I think the very originally, we only had just one product line for the parents that immediately addressed my own pain, so I don't have to one-stop shop. But that alone is not enough. Then there is the go-to-market strategy. How can you acquire users? How can you acquire parents' users? How can you onboard the providers? How can you design a business model that everyone will say yes? So that's kind of also related to distributed system design, right? When you design a distributed systems, all the parties, all these components of the system, they have to, all the incentives and everything have to align for the system to run smoothly. And similarly, when we design this business, we also design the business model in such a way that all the parties, entities involved in this business system, also all the incentives align.
What is the business model?
The business model is we take commission. Also, researchers have the greatest training to give the pitch about the idea. A good salesmanship actually comes from being a researcher. Here's my pitch to the provider. It's completely free for you to list any number of seats for any number of your camps. Only when we bring you enrollment and extra income, we take a very small cut. You can only earn more when working with Six Crickets. That's for marketing. One line, pretty quick, right? And also, we also provide a free online registration service for the providers to support, especially if you're small to mid-sized providers. You can use our online registration service for our website, and it's free for you to use because we want to really support you.